Welcome back to Tales of Southwest Michigan's Past. This is Michael Delaware. I am your host. And in today's journey through history, I'm going to talk a little bit about Women's History Month, because we have a big event coming up at the Battle Creek Regional History Museum at the end of the month. I thought it was appropriate that I do at least one episode this month on women's history. And being that this event that's happening in Battle Creek is on amazing women that lived in Calhoun County, I thought it would be appropriate to do a little profile on some of the Black women of Calhoun County. Now, not all of these are going to be in this event this month, but I will tell you which ones are. I will be featuring some of the ones from the program in this episode. But all of these ladies lived outstanding lives that contributed to the community. And just as a coincidence, when I was preparing for this program at the museum, I came across this reference that was donated to the museum. It was a publication from the Battle Creek Inquirer of 1993, and it was called Black History in Battle Creek and Calhoun County. And it profiles many of the women that we're going to be doing in this program, as well as some women that we did in last year's program on the Phenomenal Woman program. And this is an annual program we started last year at the museum to honor women during Women's History Month. So I'll talk to you a little bit more about the Phenomenal Woman program at the end of this episode and where you can get tickets and when it's happening and all of that. So stay tuned, but come along and join me as we talk about some Black women who made a tremendous difference in the history of Calhoun County. The first woman I would like to speak about is Marion Birch. And this article reads, "It stunned many of Calhoun County in the summer of 1990 when the news came that Marion Birch had died. For two decades, Birch had been known as a spokesperson for the needs of county residents, particularly in the realm of human services. The former Marion Bowser was born in 1924 in Kansas City, Kansas, and came to Battle Creek as a child. She attended Battle Creek Central High School and Kellogg Community College. She worked for the old Oliver Company in Battle Creek and at one time wired and riveted reconnaissance planes. She became known in the Battle Creek Area Urban League about 1968, serving its Police Community Relations Committee and Education Task Force. She was a longtime Democrat, and Birch, in 1970, ran for and won a seat on the Calhoun County Board of Commissioners, then being vacated by Maud Bristol Perry. Birch was the county board's only Black member for some years. She was named chairperson of the Calhoun Board in 1985, and in 1986, she was the first Black woman to attain that position. Over the years, Birch, working out of her office in Marshall and serving in the county's Community Mental Health Board, as well as the Public Health Board and the Mid-County's Employment Consortium, as well as the Commission of Aging and the Community Action Agency of South Central Michigan. For her work, she was among recipients in 1990 of the Sojourner Truth Award, which was presented by the Battle Creek Club of the National Association of Negro Businesses and Professional Women's Clubs Incorporated. In 1985, the Michigan legislature paid her a special tribute for her service to those with mental illness and developmental disabilities. Birch was seeking her 11th term on the board when she was stricken with complications stemming from an asthma attack. She passed away August 8, 1990. Quite a legacy in Calhoun County. The next woman that I'm going to feature here is Evelyn Golden. A tireless determination to help people attain equal rights marks Evelyn Golden's service to the community of Battle Creek. While she was married to James R. Golden, Battle Creek's first distinguished Black attorney, Evelyn Golden has attained a stature of her own in local Black history. In the face of widespread discrimination against Blacks seeking jobs, Golden was instrumental in founding the Battle Creek Area Urban League. In 1964, Golden and others wrote to Whitney M. Young Jr., then president of the National Urban League, urging him to permit a chapter in Battle Creek. 2 years later, the organization was founded, and Golden became the first board chairwoman. For that achievement, she received a George Award from the then Inquirer and News in Battle Creek. Golden was named the Woman of the Year by the Beta chapter of Eta Phi Beta Sorority and has served as president of the Battle Creek chapter of the NAACP, the Battle Creek Council of Parents and Teachers, and the Lincoln School PTA. She helped organize and chaired the Battle Creek Area Council on Human Relations, and she also served on the boards of the former United Fund as well as the YMCA. She later resided in Santa Barbara, California, and in 1991, she was a special guest of the Urban League's annual Whitney M. Young Jr. Dinner, and when the group celebrated its 25th anniversary in Battle Creek. She passed away in 1988. Now, another well-known woman in the Battle Creek community and the history of Battle Creek is Helen Montgomery. One of the much talked about issues of 1992 in Battle Creek was the city's renaming of Glen Urban Street in honor of Helen Montgomery, who had died 3 years before. Montgomery, who owned the El Grotto Lounge in Battle Creek, was a community leader and supporter who made things happen. She had spent decades showing Battle Creek small business owners how to do things the right way. She was born Helen Evans in Battle Creek and graduated Battle Creek Central High School. She and her husband, Robert Snap Montgomery, who passed away in 1972, they acquired the El Grotto Lounge in 1949. Now, many of the entertainers that we associate and know that are connected with Battle Creek went there and played at the El Grotto Lounge. And many of them got their career started at that nightclub, which was located on Kendall Street in Battle Creek. And it existed in full operation between the 1950s and 1980s. People went there to hear the sounds of Junior Walker and the All-Stars, Al Green, Wade Fleming and the Newcomers, and so many more. In fact, I spoke with family members of the Del Shannon family, and they said that Del used to go there to listen when he was in town because it was the happening place for musical entertainment. Now, I don't know that Del ever actually played there, but he did attend the El Grotto Lounge on a few occasions. Now, Montgomery worked hard to preserve her business reputation. When things got tough and violence flared inside the lounge, she fought to preserve the integrity of Black businesses in Battle Creek. The effort to rename her residential street was spearheaded by a local entertainer by the name of Bobby Holly, who also performed at a young age, early on at the El Grotto Lounge, and he performed throughout his music career there quite often. And Bobby Holly had a nephew who had been murdered at one point, and Helen Montgomery helped to provide a large contribution to the city's Silent Observer Reward Program. She was a member of the Battle Creek Police Community Relations Committee, the People's Action Committee, and the Battle Creek Chapter of the NAACP, as well as the Southwestern Michigan Urban League and the Calhoun County Business Professional Association, the ADA Chapter of the Order of the Eastern Star, and also was an active member of the Mount Zion AME Church. In 1979, the Battle Creek Police Community Relations Committee honored her for her contributions to the committee. Now, she passed away in May of 1989 at the age of 70, and it was a tragic accident. She had an accidental flare-up of a charcoal cooking fire in her backyard when she was treating some workers at the lounge, and shortly afterwards from that accident, she died from the injuries that she received in that fire. But she was a tremendous lady in this community. I did a little research on her in collecting a lot of news articles about her because she is one of the women that we are profiling and featuring in the Phenomenal Woman program. as well as Evelyn Golden, who I've already covered. So those two ladies so far are going to be in this year's program at the Battle Creek Regional History Museum. And Helen Montgomery is such a special lady. She and her husband had been such a key group of people for mentoring and providing a platform for musical entertainment for years in the city. And many of those entertainers, Junior Walker and the All-Stars, as I mentioned, Wade Flemons, they all attributed to their early career success of the time that they were allowed to play at the El Grotto Lounge. And, of course, that was the location of where Junior Walker and the All-Stars' famous song, Shotgun, was originally played. It was originally played in the El Grotto Lounge. So quite a piece of history. Helen Montgomery has quite a story, and she alone should be the one that would draw you to go see the Phenomenal Woman program, because it's going to be exceptional. So let me move on to a few other ladies here. Julia Milner, for nearly three decades, was the hub of social, recreational, and sports activity for local Black residents with the Hamblin Community Center, which officially closed in 1974. Julia Milner was the director who held it all together during the center's existence, becoming one of the Black community's most beloved citizens in the process. Milner was born in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and she graduated from Indiana State Normal School with a teacher's certificate and received a bachelor's degree from the Western Michigan University. She moved to Battle Creek with her husband in 1938 and served as a volunteer with the Fort Custer service clubs, including the USO and the Red Cross during World War II. And then in 1948, Milner became director of the city-operated Hamblin Center. For years, she was the advisor, confidant, mother, disciplinarian, arbiter, friend, and molder of ideals for young people at the center. In 1954, Milner helped to organize the Senior Pioneer Interracial Club at the center, and she served on the Area United Community Services Board and was a member of the Calhoun County Tuberculosis Association, the YMCA, the Urban League, the American Association of the University of Women, the American Legion, and the Order of the Eastern Star. In 1972, she received a Distinguished Service Award from the Civil Rights Department of the Battle Creek Chapter of the NAACP. In 1979, she received an Inquirer and News George Award for her community service. And then, in 1992, the former Roseneath Park was renamed in her honor. She passed away in January of 1995. Now, Julia Milner was one of the ladies that we featured in last year's Phenomenal Woman program at the Battle Creek Regional History Museum. And she was portrayed by Donna Rickman, who is an outstanding, exceptional history performer, as you might call her. She does a lot of reenactment, and she really brought Julia's story to life, and it was just beautiful. So Donna is actually returning for this year's program, and she will be portraying several of the ladies in the program, including Helen Montgomery and Evelyn Golden. Now, there is no way I could do an episode on famous Black women of Calhoun County without mentioning Sojourner Truth. I mean, there is a huge monument to Sojourner Truth right as you enter the city. She was the first famous resident, really, of the city of Battle Creek that made national news as a citizen of this community. She was a former slave who became an abolitionist leader and a crusader for women's rights, as well as an influential campaigner for justice. She was born Isabella Bomfree, also spelled B-A-U-M-F-R-E-E, and she was born in 1797 to James and Elizabeth, who were slaves of a wealthy farmer in Hurley, New York. And at age six, she was sold along with 100 sheep. By 1828, she had been sold three more times. Until she was about 10 years old, she spoke only Dutch. It was a form of Dutch called Low Dutch, and she never learned to read or write. She married and bore five children with a fellow slave named Thomas. She's reputed to have fled from the farm when she was a slave after her master broke a promise to set her free. In 1843, she became an evangelist, and she took the name of Truth as her surname and adopting Sojourner as her first name. She said that she would sojourn to wherever she was needed to speak the truth. Even though she remained illiterate, Sojourner Truth became a tireless public speaker throughout the East and Midwest. She lobbied legislatures for laws granting parcels of land to freed slaves and helped free blacks to swear out warrants for the return of their kidnapped children, as well as their other relatives. Her most famous public address is one which was made at the Women's Rights Convention and now is referred to as her famous Ain't I a Woman speech. It's not understood precisely when Truth came to Battle Creek to live, although it is known that she spoke here in 1856. I'm reading from this write-up, and I have some more exact dates on that I can go into in another episode. She did live for a time out at Harmonia, which is now part of the Fort Custer fort. She lived in this area just prior to the Civil War. And during the Civil War years, she was on the road a lot. So she stayed in the Harmonia area, but she moved after about 7 years, as I recall correctly, to Battle Creek. She lived in Battle Creek for the remainder of her years until 1883, when she passed away. She's buried at Oak Hill Cemetery, and there's a tremendously beautiful historic marker right over her grave next to her headstone. And she's buried beside her children, and the plaque honors her legacy as one of the historic figures in the history of Michigan. But that's going to conclude today's journey through history, looking at some of the history of just a few of the amazing black women that had a lasting impact on the history of Calhoun County. The reason I featured that in this program is that on March 30th, we have a program at the Battle Creek Regional History Museum that is a Saturday afternoon, and it is starting at 2 p.m. The tickets are $10, and we're going to be featuring and profiling the legacy of seven women that lived in Calhoun County. I featured two of them today in this episode. I was going to feature the three black women that are going to be featured in this event, but I thought, no, I'm going to leave a teaser out there so you guys can come and find out about the third amazing woman in that program. But there's also seven women total in this program that we're featuring, and there's three performing actors. Among them is Donna Rickman. And she did last year's program as well as a lot of other programs at the museum. And she is always worth the time to come here because she's just an amazing public speaker as well as a performer. And she's going to bring the house down when she does her rendition of Helen Montgomery, I am sure, because she was such a wonderful character in the city of Battle Creek's history and had such a profound legacy in the music industry that we're just really excited to have Helen Montgomery being featured in this upcoming program. So once again, that program is called Phenomenal Woman. The name Phenomenal Woman comes from a poem by Maya Angelou. And so if you look that up online, you will see the full poem. And that became the inspiration for this concept of the Women's History event last year, and we kind of built on it. We've kind of branded this annual event as called Phenomenal Woman because it's so fitting. And so we begin the program by reading the Phenomenal Woman poem, which Donna Rickman will be reading. And then we go into showing the lives of these women. And it just was so well received. We had a sold out house last year, and we hope to have the same this year. Once again, the tickets are $10. I'll put the link to where you can get tickets in the show note description of this episode. You can also go over to the museum's website, which is bcrhm.org, or you can look up Battle Creek Regional History Museum on Facebook. You'll find either the page or the group, and there are links in there for where you can buy tickets. So definitely get your tickets there. It is going to be a phenomenal program. I also wanted to tell you a little bit about some other things that are happening in the world of history that's coming up as we approach the warmer months. And I spent time this past weekend at the Kalamazoo Living History Show for 2 days. I was there. I had a table at this event, and I was selling my new book, Victorian Southwest Michigan True Crime. And it was a two-day event, and I got to tell you, it was an amazing experience. Wonderful people, not only the attendees, but the organizers of this event were very friendly. I mean, I got there Friday night to set up my table, and I was a little bit, you know, nervous about this thing. I mean, you pay a little bit of money to be in the show, and you go, I don't know how well I'll be received and all that stuff. And it took me a while to find my table because the numbering system was a little bit off, and I finally find my table to get ready to set up, and there, sitting on my table, is a paper bag with a nice little note on it that says, "Welcome, new vendor," and inside was some, you know, candies and goodies and what. It was just very nice. From the moment I got there, it was like, okay, these people are really welcoming to new people that have never been to the show before and probably are feeling nervous just like I was. So that was a nice experience. And then I set up my table and came back the next morning, had a terrible night's sleep, being nervous about, oh, you know, you always, when you're doing a big show like that, you're always thinking, oh, what did I forget? Or you wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, I got to make sure I bring that. And so I woke up at 4 a.m. and it was like, oh, it was just one of those crazy things of just running around trying to organize last minute details. And of course, at this show, I had to wear clothing that looked like prior to 1890. And they restrict you. You cannot wear jeans or anything like that. So I was agonizing over what I was going to wear that day and all that stuff. So all of these things are going through your head and doing the show. But it was an outstanding show for me. I sold 77 books over 2 days. By Monday, I was completely exhausted from standing on concrete for 2 days, but it was just a wonderful experience, a great launch for my book. And the first week of book sales between that and an event that I did at Willard Library last week and the pre-orders that I had from all of you guys out there in the listening audience, you helped me reach well over like 115-120 books the first week of the sales. And my publisher was very happy. It just turned out to be a great start for the book sales. And I've got a full calendar of events coming up. As I record this, I will be doing an event this evening at a library down in Colon. You guys won't be able to hear about that because that will already be passed by this time airing. But I will be speaking again this coming weekend at the Helen Warner branch of the Willard Library, which is located at 36 Mingus Creek Place in Battle Creek. And I'll be telling the story of Sarah Haviland from the book. And that is one of the darker tales in the book. That's going to be at 10 a.m. in the morning at the Willard Library branch. So got a lot of people signed up for that. Hopefully that's not too early for you. But if you are looking for an afternoon event later that same day on Saturday, that's March 23rd at 2 p.m., I will be in Marshall at that wonderful bookstore called New Story Community Books. And they're located at 114 West Michigan Avenue in Marshall, Michigan. Very excited to work with those folks. There's some very nice people at that bookstore, and they are one of the really fun little bookstores in the community in the Southwest Michigan region. So you should definitely come out just to check out their store and hear my presentation. That's going to be happening at 2 o'clock this Saturday, March 23rd. The following day, I'm going to be at another bookstore in Southwest Michigan over in Albion at Sterling Books and Brew, another group of great people. And their address is at 119 North Superior Street in Albion. I'll be speaking there Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. That is this Sunday, March 24th. So I've got a busy weekend lined up with three different speaking events. Hopefully you'll be able to come on out there and see me. I'll be talking about my new book, Victorian Southwest Michigan True Crime. But I also wanted to tell you guys about this other great event. I met these folks at the Kalamazoo Living History Show. In fact, they had the booth right behind me. So I heard their pitch all weekend long, and they were talking about a great, wonderful group of people. And they are Tillers International, and they have a Tillers organization over in Scotts, Michigan. And the address of their location is 10515 East OP Avenue East in Scotts, Michigan. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because they are doing an ancestral Skillshare gathering, and it is a weekend family campout for skill levels of all ages. And it's happening July 18th to July 21st. and it is their first annual event of this, and it's going to include things like fiber arts and live music. They're going to be teaching you how to use draft animals, including oxen. There's a kids camp. There's herb walks where they teach you herbal food gathering and all kinds of stuff. There's pasta making, blacksmithing, printmaking, bushcraft, and they're going to do some animal butchering, medicine making, stonemasonry, archery, flint napping, hide tanning, foraging, basically all of these skills that the pioneers had to learn to use when they first came to Michigan. So if you want to find out more about them, their website is earthcraftskillshare.com, and I think they're also on Instagram at earthcraftskillshare. And that weekend again is July 18th through the 21st of this year. It is the weekend family campout for ancestral Skillshare gathering, the Earthcraft first annual ancestral Skillshare gathering. So I'm going to put the link in the show note description to that as well. And you can find out all the details about registration on that. I don't know how much it is, but it is a full weekend event, and it would be a tremendous weekend for you if you're into really learning about all of those skills, and there's some amazing people there that are going to be able to teach you all of that. And they are excited to have a lot of new people come out. That's happening in Scotts, Michigan. So definitely check that out if you're interested. It might be a wonderful event to bring kids to teach them a lot of these old skills and see craftsmen and all kinds of different activities there that are designed around family entertainment. And it's a full weekend long event, so you should have a good time if you go to that event. So once again, I'll put the link for that as well as the other events that I mentioned in this program. I'll put the link to my calendar in the show note description because I have a lot of events myself coming up in April as well. Not to forget the amazing program called Michigan True Crime Symposium, which is going to happen at the Art 634 location at 634 North Mechanic Street in Jackson. This is going to be a gathering of some Michigan true crime authors. I will be there as well as three other authors. Hopefully next year this will be an even larger event, but that's going to be a lot of fun. The Art 634 is actually the old carriage and wagon shop that was right next to the old prison. So that should be a lot of fun to come and check out for the afternoon. That is happening on April 6th. It is a Saturday, and it is from 2 to 4 p.m. So hopefully you'll be able to come there. There are going to be four of us speaking about true crime stories and doing book signing over those 2 hours. Should be a whole lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of people. I've already had a lot of people reach out to me and say they are planning on coming to that, and they want to see me and buy a book, and I'm hopefully they'll pick up books from the other authors as well, and I know the other authors are working their social media as well on this. So let's make it a big gathering so we can make this a big annual event. Next year, I'd love to have another dozen authors there or something like that, make it a huge gathering. So this is just the first year I've organized this type of event, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to working with Art 634. They were very generous in making the space available to us at no cost for this event. So I really, really want to make sure we have a good turnout so that they are interested in doing this again next year. So whether or not you buy a book, just come on out and have fun and hear some stories about true crime. That being said, this is going to conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to the stories of Black women of Calhoun County, as well as all these other wonderful events that are coming up in the coming months. And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can always reach me at michaeldelaware.com. You can order my new book now on Amazon, or you can come to my website and place an order for the book there at michaeldelaware.com. And if you'd like to reach out to me through social media, you can find me at Michael Delaware Author. You should go on over to that page today and follow me if you're on Facebook. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Michigan History Guy. And until next time, when we take another journey into yesterday and we explore even more fascinating tales and stories of Southwest Michigan's past, thank you for listening.